Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
And again, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in live. This is our Zuma Health Education Call. And again, it's a call we do the first and third Thursday of every single month, and I appreciate you tuning in with us live tonight. Got some great information coming your way this evening. In fact, for most of you listening in, depending on where you live, I'm betting that the signs of spring are in the air, meaning there's probably some pollen or related allergy-inducing items floating in the air where you live. I know it certainly is happening here where I live in Virginia. And I know across the country, it seems like there are various stages of that going on right now. So we're going to be talking about a topic tonight that is probably, unfortunately, all too familiar to many of you. And if it's not familiar to you, I can promise you it's familiar to many people that you know, and that is seasonal allergies. So we want to talk about that tonight and talk about some of the things you might be able to do to help get your body through that and maybe even start to eliminate some of those symptoms. So that's our topic tonight, and I get to spend some time with a lady who is a good friend to us here at Zuma, and she's certainly been an awesome asset to us as part of our scientific advisory board. I always love when I get to spend some time with her on this call. Of course, I'm talking about our very own Dr. Melissa Bennett. She's a naturopathic doctor, and like so many of us in Zuma, she is daily focused on helping others enjoy more abundance in their health. And so she is always awesome to be on this call with us, and I'm thankful she took some of her time tonight to be with us. Let me make sure she is on the line. Dr. Melissa, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. I'm glad to hear your voice. I think we're having a little technical challenge tonight. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I hope we can at least get you to come through on the call tonight. So I'm glad you're here.
That's awesome. What a day. I was playing tennis this morning, and I'm the captain of one of the tennis teams, and the daggum ball hit me in the eye, and I was like, yes, it was so bad. But I got over it pretty fast because I was like, you know what, you can't really tell the difference from getting hit in the head with a ball than the pollen that's out there. It's about the same. So it felt around the same. My eyes were like, one eye was just kind of a little bit closing up, but it's fine now, which is so good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I don't want to be captain anymore. I'm like, I don't know. It's so hard. It rains here so much because I'm in Georgia, and I'm just really happy that spring is here because that's like my favorite time of the year. And, you know, March here in Georgia, and I don't know if it's like this up there, but it's very unpredictable. So in Georgia, it'll be like cold one day and then warm the next day. But then April is like perfect in Georgia, except for the pollen. And I have to tell you, Ken, the pollen is so high in Georgia, and now I need you to say, how high is it?
How high is it, Melissa?
It is so high that the meth users are actually trying to convert meth back into Sudafed.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's bad.
That was good. That was good.
I can actually
see that visual. That's scary.
Yeah, that is. So much. But it is allergy season, and the topic's on point. And, you know, tonight I want to go over and cover kind of like what an allergy is. I mean, you hear about allergies, but you kind of want to know why do you even have allergies in the first place, and then hopefully give you guys some solutions that can help lessen your symptoms. And, you know, allergies in general, you don't want to minimize them because it can be very scary because allergies affect everyone differently. And one person might have a mild reaction to a certain allergen, and someone else might experience like very severe symptoms. And like myself, when I was actually preparing for this talk, I think I posted on Facebook, and Liggy actually came over and was liking it. I was sitting in front of a bowl of pistachios, and I just kept eating them, like one after the other. And when I finished, there was 100 pistachios that were in this plate that I had consumed. And I was like, oh, my gosh, really? The studies have been done on like 10 to 12 pistachios a day are actually really healthy for you, but not 100. I was like way over the limit. But again,
so you failed that moderation test.
Oh, well, I totally blew it out of the ball. I was like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, it's funny because it's weird because with allergies, you can have someone that just gets around a certain allergen, and it'll just like pine nuts or anything like that, and it can cause them. Where mild allergies, you have a little inconvenience. Those severe allergies can be life-threatening, and your allergy symptoms, you know, just overreact. And that's kind of what your allergies are doing. It's your immune system which overreacts to allergens in your body. So your immune system basically thinks that, it mistakenly actually believes that like an allergen from food, like a peanut or a pine nut or anything like that, is a harmful substance and it's invading your body. So your immune system starts releasing chemicals like histamine to fight off a foreign invader. And when your immune system releases these chemicals, it causes your body to have this allergic reaction. And that's what they are called. So when you think of allergies, you think of things that are called allergens. And we know things like pollen, dust mites, even mold spores are common allergens. And it's really rare for people to have any severe allergy to them because they're just everywhere in the environment. But other allergens will just cause a very severe reaction, even like pet dander from a dog or cat or medication. You've heard of people, you know, having reactions to like penicillin. Insect stings, you know, stings are one of the things I remember as a little girl. My cousins and I, and this is going to show how Southern I am, but we were going through the woods, and I was spying on my cousin and her boyfriend. This is why I got in trouble doing this. And my cousin Claude, and that's his Southern name right there, he stepped into a yellow jacket nest. And my cousin Selena and I were behind them. And I'm telling you, all these bees just came out all at once. And we were stung. I was stung 27 times, and my cousin was stung 10 times. And, Ken, we ran up a hill. And we jumped a barbed wire fence. We could never do that again going up the hill. And we jumped it because we were stinging. It was stinging us so bad. And I just remember my grandma, like, piling a bunch of snuff all over me. I was just covered in it. But that worked really well. I'm not advocating people go out and start dipping, you know, any type of tobacco or anything like that. But, boy, it really took those stings out. You think about that many bees. If I'd had an allergy to those, that would have been the end. And because one bee sting can put you into something called an anaphylactic reaction, and anaphylaxis occurs when an allergy swelling gets so extreme that it causes your throat to close up, it prevents air from getting airflow, and then you actually can fall unconscious because your blood pressure drops and your pulse can be weak. It's a bad thing. It's very serious, and it requires, like, medical intervention. So, I always tell, you know, my patients, if you have a severe reaction to something, wear one of those little bracelets. It's just like a little emergency bracelet, and that will help inform people, especially they may not know what you're allergic to, but they can look at it on that little bracelet. And also, if you want to think, you know, with allergies, common foods that can cause severe allergic reactions, especially if you have children, you want to kind of keep in mind when you start introducing, like, new foods and these are things that are common that people start introducing, but you really want to watch out for, like, peanuts and, like I said, tree nuts, fish, shellfish, wheat, soy, milk. Those are, like, the common allergens, and eggs. But believe it or not, with eggs, childhood allergies can grow less severe over time, and this is specifically true for eggs. So the body might react at the beginning, and then over time it gets better. But then you have the people with mild allergy symptoms, and this is kind of where I'm focusing tonight, not on the extreme ones, but on the ones that can affect your entire, you know, entire body, because you can have skin rashes, hives, those itchy eyes, runny nose, things like that that are just really irritating. And, you know, when you look at allergies in general, you're looking at just an inflammatory reaction. And when you have that inflammatory reaction that's elicited by the immune system, it's because it doesn't recognize the protein, or it's a small molecule that's bound to a protein. So in my practice, which is the olive leaf, I provide testing for all different types of allergies. I do food, chemicals. I do additives in the environment. I check for mold. I check for environmental things because now, and this is such good news, we actually provide remote testing, I mean, all over the United States. It started, we have a software that allows us to do that and to get kits out to people everywhere, which is so cool. And yeah, because this is what I see. The majority of my patients will come in and they'll be complaining of, usually of a food allergy. And as we dig a little deeper, we find that it may not be just the food that's the primary problem. The patient could also be having a reaction to pollen or anything else because they're exposed to something that's not even related to that. So let's say they have a reaction to a food additive or a food coloring that's used in the process of food. They may not have a reaction directly to the food, but they may have a reaction to whatever the processing of that food is. So if you find yourself experiencing things like indigestion, canker sores, diarrhea, ear infections, even kids with hyperactivity, that could definitely be like a more of a chemical reaction that you want to look at the environment and find out, you know, what are they consuming and what are they putting on their skin or what are they dealing with that could cause that reaction. And airborne reactions are what you experience during spring. And this is when you do get your itchy, your watery eyes, your sinus congestion, skin irritation. And now, you know, it's very hard to cough and sneeze in public because, you know, everybody's like, they'll sneeze or they'll cough and they'll be like, I don't have COVID, but they're probably allergic to all the pollen and they're having this terrible reaction, but people are scared. So, I have a friend actually, this is so sad that had that happen where they sneezed in public and someone got upset with them. I'm like, you know, what are you going to do? Your body has to react a certain way. Headaches can also be one of those things that you'll see when someone has a reaction. And a lot of times during pollen season, you'll see people getting headaches. And they're tricky because headaches are one of those really weird things. You want to rule out something serious, but typically with headaches, I'll find multiple causes. But I look at three specific areas with a headache. First one is structural. If someone has a headache and they think it's pollen-induced, it could very well be. But it could also be structural where they have something called a subluxation, and that's in the spine and it's in the cervical area, and I'll refer out to a chiropractor. Some people come in with stress headaches, so they just have headaches every single day, and the pollen at that point will make them worse, but they're still related back to stress. So from there, again, I refer out to a chiropractor, or I'll refer out to someone who does cognitive behavior therapy. So that's really good to do. A lot of people don't associate headaches to food allergies as well as airborne allergies that can also cause headaches. So I remember actually being in an Uber minivan. This was several years ago, and I'm in the back and there's like windows and there's no way to open the windows because it's one of those places. I'm sitting there and this lady, I tell you, Kent, in the front, she has about five of those little tiny trees that are just hanging up in the front. And I could not breathe. I got such a bad headache from having those little trees. And I could not communicate with her that these trees, because I was all the way in the back. So it was just so bad. And I just remember being there. And that song kept going through my head, like, I got to get out of this place by the animals. And I was just stuck until I got out of the car. And it was so horrible. So there you are again, another way of having headaches due to an allergy, but then it's because we're breathing something that is causing that allergy. And it's just a chemical sensitivity. And we take for granted all the things that we're surrounded by, which make us toxic. And the way you look at toxicity is that, why do you have seasonal allergies? Well, seasonal allergies, everyone has them. So I could actually take a bath in pollen right now, not going to do that. I have seasonal allergies, but I have a sensitivity to things that are chemical. So you may want to do a little homework, but you can research like things. Let's say you are in a place where you notice you have more intense seasonal allergies that time of year, but you're also noticing, wow, it's getting a lot worse than it was last year. You kind of want to research your favorite cleaning products, your air fresheners, and you can see what's going on with them and what chemicals are in them by going to this website, and it's called the Material Safety Data Sheet, and it's called MSDS. And this is a really good website that really breaks down what your chemicals do and how they affect your body. And the sheets also explain how different chemicals are affecting you if they're ingested or inhaled, obviously if they come in contact with your eyes. And so it's just one of those things where you want to be aware that, you know what, things might be building up in your body as you're surrounding yourself in your home with things that can be toxic, which you walk outside and you're like, wow, you know what, I'm really having a seasonal allergy. And you can be, but it could be exacerbated because of what you're actually surrounding yourself. So you need to do some housekeeping just to make sure that you're not overtaxing your body. And allergies, too, you know, they're very individualized. So like I was saying, not everyone has allergies to everything. But you got to figure out what creates that inflammatory response in one body, and it may not have the same effect in another body. And, you know, you can develop them. I think people actually have, you know, allergies, especially seasonal allergies. They can develop them at any age. You can develop them as a child, and you may not have any symptoms until you're an adult. And people are sensitive to some allergies, but not others. So you want to kind of look at your genetic history. A lot of times you'll find if your parents have allergies, you're going to have allergies as well. But I'm not all about genes, because I'm all about genetics. And epigenetics means maybe you don't have to activate that your mom and dad have. If you have it, a lot of times it can be conditioned. You know, if someone's going around their whole life saying they're allergic to something, you can actually take that on as well. I actually will have my dog sometimes come with me, Pippin, to the office, and sometimes I don't even have to say that there's a dog in the office, but if I mention there's a dog in the office and the dog isn't there, people will start having an allergy reaction, even if the dog is not around. It's weird. It's like a psychosomatic thing. Not that they're not allergic to dogs, but they've got so conditioned that they're going to have that reaction that they do. And so dog may not have been there for 3 or 4 weeks, and he's hypoallergenic anyway, so he really wouldn't cause a reaction, but because they're used to that, they will have that reaction. It's really strange. So I always say parents can pass on a tendency to get allergies, but you may never actually have any symptoms, or you may end up with some allergies, but they're not the same ones as your parents have. So you also have to, have a tendency to be exposed to a certain allergen before you develop an allergy. So the more intense the exposure is, the more often you come into contact with it. A lot of times, the earlier in life that this happens, sometimes you'll be more allergic to it as you get older. But, you know, that being said, that's kind of looking at it like, oh, my gosh, this is how I'm going to be because this genetic tendency is there. And, again, I disagree that genetically we can be predisposed to allergies or any disease. But from a more naturopathic perspective, I really think allergies happen to those that have more genetic variants than others. But because they're dealing with overtoxicity in combination with some type of stress, that's why they develop the allergy. And people may not realize that they're toxic. I'll have people, Ken, that'll call me up and they'll be like, no one calls up and says, by the way, I'd like to make an appointment because I have a toxic body. Can you help me? Most of the time they'll talk about their symptoms, and it'll be related to like poor digestion. They'll feel inflammation. And when I look at toxicity, you'll see, again, it mimics allergies in a way. You'll see that they have headaches, they'll have fatigue, a lot of things going on, frequent colds, their immune system's going to be down. They'll find themselves with constipation, skin conditions. And the last thing is allergies. But it's kind of like you have all these things, and the allergies are the end result of what they're dealing with. So when you're – and here's how you can tell, too, if you are toxic. You can see that your CRP, which is a C-reactive protein level, that when you go to your doctor, it'll actually show up in your blood work, and that's an inflammation marker. And if it starts to go up in your body, it's showing that there's some systemic inflammation going on. So you want to kind of figure out, well, what is actually causing inflammation? And also, as we know, when you walk your urine pH will become acidic, you're going to see that your body is in a toxic state. So the body becomes toxic, not all at once, but it's just a little by little, and we may not notice it, like I was saying, until you're surrounding yourselves on a daily basis with things that contribute to toxicity, and we have to look at the contaminants in the food, the water, pesticides, the cleaning supplies, things that we just take for granted. And for men who do a lot of building, we have to watch out for that, as well as cosmetics. because there's just a bunch of stuff that they put in that we need to make sure our bodies can handle. Now, that being said, I am, like I said, I'm not one of those, like, you can't live in a bubble. You got to live in society, and this is how we have to deal with things. So you have to make sure that your body is in a place where it can handle things. And also be conscious and cognitive of things that you can change. Don't use those little plug-in air fresheners, you know, if you know they're going to be toxic to you, take them out. And don't use things that are heavily chemically based, because it's just going to add to what you're dealing with and what your body can handle. So we just want to make sure our bodies are kept in a healthy state, and then the stressors on our body they can be eliminated. So we can add physical stress and emotional stress together, and then your bodies can hit a tipping point. And this is when I see symptoms, and sometimes the symptoms can present themselves as different. Like I have a lady that came in the other day with Raynaud's syndrome, which is a horrible thing. She's like losing the tips of her fingers, actually, not just nails. And we're trying to figure out, well, why did this happen? So we just start backtracking and going back in time, and we see that she may have exposed herself to certain things that triggered the gene or whatever the component was in her body that caused her to develop this syndrome. So the good news is I believe that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that if we give it the right environment and we feed it the right things and we get our bodies built up, that through the Lord, I feel like we can all have healing. So I don't ever get people stuck in a place where they're going to be there. I'm always like going, you know what? Even if you have this condition, it's okay. Because this condition, if you build your body up enough, it's going to be able to get to a point where it's not experiencing the symptoms. Even though you may be labeled with a certain disease, that's okay. We can still get your body built up enough so that hopefully you won't have things that are pushing it over the edge so that you have debilitating symptoms. And, you know, I kind of got off track there, but that's the whole point. It's kind of like allergies are like that as well. It's like you get your body in a place where you can handle certain things, and then there's a tipping point. And for myself, a good example of this is my cat, Smokey, and which I found one of my best friends is a vet. And I went to the office, and this was probably like 15 years ago. And I'm telling you, Ken, this cat could have been an underwear model. He was the cutest cat I think I've ever seen. He is like silver gray. I mean, just a beautiful cat. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I love this cat. And some woman had dropped him off there. And so I'm like, I'm going to take him home. So I took him home. And, Ken, by the time I got back to my house, I could not see. I was so allergic to him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, my face was swollen. My eyes were puffy and itchy. I felt miserable. So I had to bring him back to my friend and told her I couldn't keep him. Well, several weeks go by, and there I am back at her office again. And he looks at me. It's like a romance. And he looks at me. I look at him, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's just such a cute cat. I'm like, I got to take him home again. So this is what happens. I take him home, and for the second time, I'm expecting to have this full-blown allergy. I have absolutely nothing. And this was 2 weeks later. So I've now had him for 13 years, and I've been allergic to him maybe 4 or 5 times. And these are times when my body is going through some type of stress. So I'm not diminishing the fact that there are those who have dog and cat allergies and they have severe allergies. But I'm saying that for me, obviously, I do not have a genetic disposition to have a cat allergy. But my body developed the allergy because my body was stressed to some extent, and then it developed the allergy. So I do think, you know, all people actually will have a lessened response to an allergen, whether it's outside, inside, if their bodies are not in a state of inflammation, and that toxicity levels are kept at a minimum. And, you know, that's just how it works. I just feel like all of these seasonal allergies are just one of the things that we're dealing with that kind of, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. I feel like if we were able to clear out a lot of what we deal with from a physiological and emotional basis, that those seasonal allergies would be a lot less. And I also believe that the people that are severely allergic, it's just one of those things where they may still have the allergy because they have genetic predisposition, but they may not have it as severe, if that makes sense. So I really feel like there's certain things, and I'm going to list these really quick, you can do. If you know you have this seasonal allergy and you know you're in this place where every time I walk outside, I'm just in a place of you know, my eyes are swollen, I can't see, I'm sneezing all the time. You really want to get a good air purifier to cleanse your own air of allergens that are in your home and in your office. And I always recommend like a HEPA filtration system. That way you've got your internal air really cleaned out. And if the pollen's coming through, you're not going to breathe it in as much. You also want to flush nasal passages with a neti pot. You can use certain liquids in that. And I was always wondering, Ken, you can elaborate on this in a minute, but if you use Silver Max in a neti pot, that's a good question, because you can use something called Silver Cillin, and that's, you know, similar to Silver Max, but it's really nice to kind of do that periodically so that you can clear out anything that's accumulated in your nasal passages. You also want to detox your body to rid circulating allergens that keep triggering that histamine response. Sometimes you can go like a 14 to 21 day detoxification program, and when you do that, you'll start to feel a lot better because you're taking off inflammatory foods and things that could be stressing out your system. You want to shower at the end of every day and change your clothes or thoroughly wash the clothes that may have collected pollens and other allergens throughout the day, so you don't want to be wearing your clothes around and, you know, have that in the house as well. And delegate jobs like lawn work, animal care, to others, or you wear a dust mask outdoors. And obviously, you want to drink plenty of water, H2O, throughout the day. And like I was saying, being acidic is one of the things that, knowing that you have inflammation, so you want to get your body into that alkaline place, again, relieving more of the burden off your body. And dietary tips, you know, you want to have sugar, dairy, wheat products. Those are the three things that are really inflammatory. And then also, we've heard of raw honey. You can find a raw honey place. That is so good for allergy prevention and histamine reactions. It's not for children at 1 year old, but it's very good for other people. So just one tablespoon a day of like a local authentic raw honey is excellent. And you want to eat foods that are rich in vitamin C. Also, quercetin. As you know, quercetin is really good for the immune system. Someone has been diagnosed with COVID, quercetin is one of those things that mimics some of the other medication that's being recommended at this time, has the same kind of effect on the body. So I recommend quercetin. It's also an antiviral. And then also using eating dairy, tomatoes, citrus fruits, that's very helpful. Apples, broccoli. I mean, just your healthy stuff is always something that's going to help you. Unless you're allergic to that, then obviously do not eat that. But if you can, eating those whole foods is going to be really good. Also, properties, eating foods with anti-inflammatory properties like your omega-3, such as wild-caught cold water salmon, or taking a really good fish oil if you can't get enough salmon in. And you have to be careful with salmon, unfortunately, because salmon is one of those things, unless you're getting it straight from the ocean, a lot of it's farm-raised. So you have to be careful with that. So, but getting a good omega is going to be very helpful. Using walnuts, flax seeds, chia seeds, these are all really good. And also incorporating turmeric is really good because that's also an anti-inflammatory. So I pulled some things together from Zoom that I thought would be great. And I've been talking so much, I'm going to let Ken take over now. But I was thinking, you know, having a good foundation of products would be a live source vitamin, a good omega, and also a good probiotic, which we have. And then also adding in as a foundation the X2O and a similar digestive enzyme. Because think about this, whatever you're putting in your body, if you can take something to help break it down and move it out, that's going to be the best thing, and that's what Assimilator does. So, Ken, I'm going to let you elaborate a little bit more on those products, but I think I covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you covered a lot of ground, and all great recommendations. You know, it's interesting because you said something earlier that really, you know, is kind of at the core of this, and you were talking about, you know, when we experience these allergic symptoms, many times it's because, it's not just because suddenly the trees are opening, right, or there's suddenly pollen in the air. It's because the body's been, immune system-wise, you know, battling some other things, and suddenly all this pollen floods the air that we're breathing, and it pushes, like you said, the body kind of over the edge a little bit, where, you know, the body was trying to maintain, and all of a sudden, you know, now it's got this pollen to deal with, and it just creates those reactions. So I've noticed, you know, like you were suggesting, when people have healthier lifestyles, when they eat better, when they take better care of themselves, when they do good quality supplements like Zumo offers, they tend to be far less affected by these seasonal allergies, because they're keeping their immune system strong. They're keeping, you know, internal inflammation at bay, so that when they encounter a lot of pollen outside, as an example, this time of the year, it's not pushing that immune system, that inflammation level over the top, to create these, you know, what are common symptoms, you know, the headaches, like you said, and the runny nose and the watery eyes. I'm not saying that doesn't still happen occasionally, but I've noticed personally, like years ago, long before I really understood health and wellness and before I started becoming a loyal user of Zuma's products, seasonal allergies really affected me badly. Now, you know, other than an occasional sneeze or a little bit of an itchy eye, especially if I've been outside all day, I don't get those really, you know, strong reactions. And I got to credit it to, you know, like you're suggesting, I'm living a good, healthy lifestyle, but in moderation. I still, you know, eat things that I know are not good for me, and I still drink things that I know sometimes aren't, you know, super health supporting, right? So like you're suggesting, one of the best things, and if you're listening to this right now, think about it for your own personal situation. You know, if you're going to, say, have a glass of wine, which, by the way, for a lot of people is a histamine trigger because of the sulfites and the preservatives in wine. But let's say you want to enjoy a good glass of wine. Well, having proper hydration prior to that and maybe after that with some X2O water would definitely go a long way, minimizing some of the reaction, especially during, you know, the seasonal allergies we're experiencing. Like you said, Dr. Melissa, if we know we're eating foods that maybe are more of those histamine triggering foods, the foods that we know maybe aren't the best or maybe have some stuff in it that we know is maybe not ideal for health, but we love it and we enjoy it and we're going to have it anyway tonight for dinner or today for lunch or whatever, it's nice to know that you can use that assimilator on the front end to help break down those foods, especially if they're less than ideal, you know, give your body a good chance of breaking it down, minimizing some of the potential inflammation. And then on the back end, making sure with the probiotics that Zoom has got that you can get the proper, you know, breakdown in the gut and the elimination and keep the healthy flora in the gut strong, and minimize, again, inflammation on the back end of digestion. And you asked a question about the silver. It's funny you mentioned that because, you know, one of the things that I personally use, and I've heard many people use this as well over the years, is they'll use Silver Max this time of the year, you know, whether it's they'll sometimes mist a little bit up their nose to help minimize, you know, some of that anti-inflammatory or the histamine response, you know, especially if they've been outside and a lot of pollen. A lot of times people put a couple drops of silver in their eye if they're really irritated by pollen, and that seems to be a great reliever as well. But you certainly could take a little bit of silver and put it in a neti pot and then run it through your nose as well to kind of flush your nasal passages. That's another great way to do it. You kind of get the best of both worlds. You get the cleansing effect of the water, but you also get some of the healing effect or the immune system support, if you will, of the Silver Max. So, and again, so there's a lot of products, as you mentioned, the Life Source and the Omega 375. But if you're somebody that's taking many of these products, like we're suggesting tonight, the assimilator and the probiotics, and you're regularly using X2O and you've got Silver Max on hand for these kinds of things, along with some of those other things, combined with a lot of these recommendations that you're hearing Dr. Melissa share, my goodness, this is if you're following these are the things that make really significant differences this time of the year. And again, like, I appreciate you saying it, Melissa. It doesn't mean that you won't ever have a sneeze, or you might not ever have an itchy nose occasionally, or a little bit of an itchy eye or a watery eye once in a while. But you think about the person who's not maintaining their health. They're not eating well. They're not using any of these great Zuma supplements. Those people are miserable this time of the year because their body's just so overwhelmed, and you can maximize your, situation as far as minimizing these things by just being a good steward, right? And just taking care of yourself And these are simple things, you know. It doesn't have to be, like you said, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have this pristine diet that you eat nothing but raw vegetables all day, but you got to be aware, like you said, of things that may trigger that immune or histamine response, and just be wise about how you do it. And like we kind of said earlier when you were using your pistachio example, moderation is always a good thing in everything.
That is funny. That is so true. And that's the whole key. And that's why you don't want to get into a place where, because people can't eat perfect. It's just so hard. In fact, the other day, it was really funny. I was met with this chiropractor, and we were very serious because I'd never met him before, and he had not met me. And we're talking to each other, and he's just like, well, what do you do with your patients? And I was like telling him I do a lot of nutrition, and, you know, I try to get them to eat healthy. And then all of a sudden, our conversation diverted to this place called Smoke Jack Barbecue. And he was like, have you had the wings over at Smoke Jack? And I'm like, have you had the hamburger with cheese? It's so good. I was like, oh, well. And then we were looking at each other. It was just like, okay, yeah, because this is how, I mean, everyone's going to live a certain way. Unless you're living in a place where you can constantly eat healthy, it's really, really, really hard because you have social eating situations. So it's all about the 80-20 rule. It's like 80%, you have things sitting around like pistachios and apples, and I always eat an apple a day, every day. It doesn't keep myself away, though, but I always eat an apple. And I eat like those raw things that are there because I know I might go out for lunch and eat something else. But I do try to tell people, find a mom-and-pop place. I mean, those places need to be, especially during COVID, they need to be kept in business. And I am not really an advocate of the lot of the chain restaurants, although I'll eat there sometimes. You can just tell the difference when you got somebody cooking and they're trying to just cook and keep their restaurant going, and it's just really nice food. So I always try to make a list of those places and share them with people. But, yeah, that's the whole point. If you eat, you know, relatively healthy, you have your supplements that are going to fill in the void of what's missing from your diet. You have X2O that's going to keep you hydrated, and you take some of the advice I just said about how to minimize your exposure to other toxins, and do a detoxification program, you know, once a year just to kind of get yourself, or once every 6 months, depending on what's going on. I feel like you're going to give your body the best chance to do what it needs to do, and you won't find yourself hopefully burdened with seasonal allergies. You just won't, because your body will be able to fight them off the way it should without an overreactive immune system.
Absolutely. Well, Melissa, we have covered a ton of ground. I'm looking at my clock, and we are definitely at the end of the call time, a little bit over, but that's good because we had lots of good stuff to share tonight. So I appreciate, as always, you sharing your wisdom and your sense of humor, of course, and your personal stories with us, because that's what makes this call enjoyable, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you guys have a wonderful night.
All right. Thanks, folks. Thanks for listening in tonight. Remember, first and third Thursday of every single month, encourage you to rejoin us again the first Thursday in May. We'll be doing another great call. But until then, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.